My name is Ted Parks, and growing up, I was a very, very religious person, which is not bad. It's not bad being religious, but I was very religious, very moral person, but I didn't know God. In other words, God was not real to me at all. I knew about him, but I didn't know him in intimacy. So I want to share my testimony of how I truly came to know God and find meaning in life that I was so searching for. When I was growing up, as a boy, actually as a baby, because I can remember when I was a little baby, I think when I could wear diapers most likely, that I was going to church. I was in church every Sunday. I can even remember looking up at the top of the doorpost that seemed so high up there and thinking, wow, okay, this is church. But then I went every Sunday, most Sundays. Occasionally we went on vacation somewhere or took a trip somewhere. And I remember at that time thinking, wow, this is great. We don't have to go to church. Because to me, church was boring most of the time. But I went because that's what we do. I wanted to be good. I wanted to follow God. We went to church. Then our church had something called Vacation Bible School. And I remember as a young person going to Vacation Bible School most every summer and learning more about God. So I knew a lot about God and about his son, Jesus Christ, and different stories in the Bible, mostly in Old Covenant, Old Testament, that exciting stories that we liked. And so I learned more, and I learned more. Now, I didn't read the Bible myself, but I had it taught to me, and I learned many aspects from it. When I was about 9 years old, all of a sudden I began to realize at the end of our church service, they would have some songs, and they would sing songs that they call invitation, and they were inviting people to come forward. Well, I didn't really know what that meant for a long time, but eventually when I found out what it meant, I realized, wow, I've never gone forward. I need to go forward because that's what we do. But I didn't want to go, not in front of all those people. And so I remember just resisting. Next song, next verse, next verse. If there's one more verse, and that was it. Okay, next Sunday. But one Sunday, I couldn't resist. I was holding on to the pew so tight. I mean, my knuckles were just going just so stiff. And I said, I'm not going to go. I'm not. And I let go, and I was down the aisle. And I walked forward, walked up to the pastor, and I just came. I don't think I said anything. And the pastor looked at me, and he said, do you believe in Jesus? I thought, well, yeah, I believe. Jesus is God's son. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Well, he had me sit down, fill out a little card, and a few weeks later, I was baptized. Now, I had no conviction of sin. I had no sense that I needed to turn my life to Jesus or anything. I just walked forward. In reality, I didn't really know what it meant to believe in Jesus. But later on, I'll share. And when I truly found out what it means to believe in Jesus, and I did it later, so later on in my testimony, I'll share what it really means to believe in Jesus. After conversion, or actually after my non-conversion, because I really didn't come to know God, I went to youth camps. Quite a few times during the summer. And I remember up in youth camp thinking, well, I walk forward. Is God more real to me? And the answer was really not. But I did sense a presence there. I felt touched by God. We were singing worship songs. We'd have meetings. I feel a touch. I want to go forward. And again, I would make some kind of commitment, but never did I come to know God intimately, Jesus intimately. Jesus was still far out there. What I know in my mind, but don't really know in my heart. I remember when an evangelist would come to our church, they came probably once a year. They would always say, how many here know that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? And I would quickly raise my hand because I had no question because that's what I was told. I walked forward before I believed in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. But I was deceived. But I didn't know that, so. And I remember when I went to church, there is one time that I really listened to the message. And the reason why is because he told a story. And I never forgot the story because it touched my heart so much. He talked about a man who took his little boy to work with him. And at work, he began to explain to his little boy what he did. He said, son, I'm a bridge operator. And when a boat is coming down the river, that bridge must be up so that the boat can go through. But when a train comes and needs to go over that bridge, over the water, I lower the bridge so that the train can go by and go on safely. Once the train is gone, I lift the bridge back up so that boats can go through that bridge. So, son, I'm going to do some work here because a train's due to come not too far from now. Why don't you go over and play? And the boy went over and played in an area that the father had said. In time the train was coming, the father could hear the sounds of the train. And actually it was coming around the bend, so he needed to lower the bridge. He had no more time. And he wanted to take one last glance at his son playing. And when he looked over, he realized his son wasn't there playing. But where was his son? And just as he's beginning to lower the bridge, he sees his son over there playing in the gears of that drawbridge. He had no time. He had to decide. It was his son or all the people on that train. So he decided to sacrifice his son so the people on the train could live, and he lowered the drawbridge. And he heard the gears grinding as his son let out a cry. His heart broken, hurt, just devastated. He watched as the train came by. And in the train windows, he could look at the people who were talking and laughing and drinking. And he thought, if you only knew what I had just sacrificed for you. Of course, they didn't know that he had sacrificed his son so that they could live. That reminds me of a verse, and we realize this is a story that represents God and his son, Jesus Christ. Now God sacrificed his son, Jesus, on the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins and be united with God and live forever so that we can live. And so that's the meaning that came forth. And a good scripture that goes with that is John 3:16. Very simple, very basic. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I didn't forget this story. It stayed within my heart. As I grew up older, I was youth in the youth group, and we did this musical called Celebrate Life. And Celebrate Life is about the life of Jesus. And in this musical, I was the one who would play, first I played the devil, then I played John, and then I played Jesus. It's kind of interesting how that I could play those different characters, but it was just a little bit of each one. And I remember at the end of this musical thinking, I just hope that some youth will come forward and give their life to Jesus. I don't remember anybody coming forward. In reality, I should have went and gave my life to Jesus. But see, I thought I knew Jesus, so I wasn't open to coming to him because I thought I already knew him. Kind of a dangerous place to be, really. And I told you I was pretty much a moral kid as growing up. My parents, they told me later on when I was older that I was a very submissive kid. I wanted to do what was right. So I think if a kid could be, you know God through being good and doing works, I would fit the picture. I would know him, but I didn't know God. Being good is a good thing to do, but it doesn't help us to know God. It's a result of knowing God. You know, at that time he thought if you didn't smoke, didn't drink, that you were doing pretty good, you know. And I didn't smoke. I was like, why? My parents said, don't smoke. And I thought, okay, I won't smoke. And drinking, I just didn't drink. I did one time. I got drunk. I went to a party. I was invited to a party, and I went. And I remember I got a little drunk, not too much, but enough at that time. But I could look into the eyes of the people at that party, and I just saw hurt. I saw emptiness. And I said, that's not what I want. That was it. I didn't drink anymore. I didn't get drunk again. But reality, if you look down deep in my heart, I was very selfish. It was all about me. I remember thinking, you know, this whole world was here for me. And I know I was pretty much Lord of my life. My faith was in me, in reality, down inside. And I wasn't very loving. I didn't really love people much. I remember my dad asking us as kids, he said, you know, there's this boy in church who doesn't have much. How about if we give him some money for food and different things? And I quickly said something. I said, Dad, if we give him money, there will be less for us. Now I think back and think, wow, what an unloving, selfish kid. But that's where I was. But even in this time, I can remember going to church, and when I was in church, I would have a kind of a vision, I don't know what you'd call it, and I would see myself preaching to a bunch of young people. And then at the end, invite people come forward, and some would come and give their life to Jesus, and some would come and rededicate their life. I kind of come out of it and just kind of, phew, what is that? You know, my heart was stirred. It was like, this is great. But once it was done, I was like, okay, back to church. And this was not real anymore. But I remember it. It was so vivid in my mind that I never forgot. And I also remember another incident when I was at home and I was watching television. And some TV evangelist came on, or some preacher. And inside, I heard very clearly how, not audibly or whatever, but that's what you're going to do when you get older. And I ran to my mom. I said, Mom, I'm going to be a preacher. And she said, son, you know, preachers are poor. They don't make much money. And many times, many people don't like them. And I thought, well, I don't want to be poor. And I like people to like me. So, yeah, I'm not going to be a preacher. No, thank you. And so that was it. But I didn't forget it. I didn't forget that God had put that on my heart. But just as I was getting older in high school, I remember just the emptiness that was inside. I was so empty. I kept thinking, when I get out of high school, maybe life will begin. Maybe that's when life happens. Because at that time, it's like I had a hole in my heart. It was just not there, and I was waiting for somewhere, somehow, that to get filled, and it wasn't happening. It was like I was just going through the motions. I was just existing. Yeah, I would do some fun things here, fun things there. But it wasn't giving me purpose and meaning in life that I was hoping for and longing for. And shortly after that, I was senior in high school, and I was in my bed and I was praying, because every night before I went to sleep, I would pray. And I asked God, well, actually, I was praying, and God actually spoke to me again. And this time, I just knew it was God. Why, how, I don't know. But I knew that it was God. And in my heart, He just said, "You don't know me. You don't know me." Pray at lunch. We pray at night. Give some money. Go to church. But you do not know me. I didn't totally understand what that meant, but all of a sudden it came on my heart to begin to read the Bible. So I went to the book of Matthew. And from that time on, little by little, I read parts of the book of Matthew, starting with chapter 1. I'd read a few verses each day. And I think I missed a lot of days. But I was reading through the book of Matthew. Before this, I never read the Bible on my own. I would, in church, you would hear the Bible. Sometimes we'd read a verse or something. But on my own, I never read the Bible. And so I began to read the Bible and learn what the Bible had to say. Then I went off to the university. And in university, I was reading the Bible. Now, when I look over here, I've got some notes, so that's all just to remind me not to forget something in here. I continued to read the Bible, and I was in the what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Exactly where, I'm not sure. Exactly what verse, I'm not sure. But I was reading, and again, Jesus spoke to my heart and said, "I want your whole life, 100%. And He spoke through the scriptures. The scriptures, somehow, whatever I was reading, sometimes I think it was a scripture that says, if someone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever tries to gain his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But I don't know what scripture it was, or somewhere around there. But all I know is God spoke to me through that scripture, and I knew I needed to give my life 100% to Jesus. So I just right there said, "Jesus, here's my life. I give it to you. Do whatever you want with my life. It's totally yours." And something happened. From that day forward, I was a different person. My life was drastically changed. I can't even explain it. And I wasn't even sure what had happened. I just know my life changed. And what scripture calls to be born again, that's what happened. I realize now that when I believed in Jesus, that the Spirit of God came to live inside of me, which is called being born again, and to begin to change the inner part of me, which then come on the outside. And so things begin to change because of this, the Spirit of God living within me. And I actually, at that time, learned what it means to believe in Jesus. I had believed facts about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He is the Son of God. And you need to believe that, those truths. But we also need to believe Jesus, believe in Jesus for who he is. And Jesus is our Lord and our King, whether we receive it or not. So when we believe in Jesus, we also need to believe in Jesus for who he is, our Lord. And when we do that, maybe we don't understand that word or mean it, doesn't matter. It's when we surrender our hearts in faith. It's a total trust of our lives to Jesus, and salvation comes. So we understand more what it means to believe in Jesus. How do I believe in Jesus as Lord if I don't make a decision to turn or repent from him and have not have him been my Lord? It's a decision in the heart. It's a faith. It all comes from within. And the result of that, then, is a life change. A life that wants to follow him, that wants to serve him. It's just from inside out rather than outside in, like the law does. To see what happened in my life, one of the first things I can remember so vividly is this overwhelming joy. Now, it might have been the next day. Can't remember exactly. But I had so much joy welling up within me that it wanted to kind of explode. I was like, what? I couldn't hold it in. And since I had just given my whole life completely to Jesus, there was a song. Somehow I remembered some words, and I began to sing, give it all, give it all, give it all to Jesus. And I got excited about singing to him. And I wanted to go to church. Before, I went because that's just what I did. And now I really wanted to go. I couldn't wait till it was Sunday. I wanted to go to church. And then I thought, you know, I believe in God, and I don't even know what the Bible says, but just a little bit. How can I have my whole life rest in God, in Jesus, and I don't know his love letter that he wrote to us, the book, the Bible, that tells us all truths about him? So I began to read the Bible. I want to read from beginning to end. So I read, and I read. I read so much. Then when I was home for Christmas, my parents asked my brother, what happened to Ted? All he wants to do is read the Bible. And my brother's like, yeah, I thought so too at first and was worried about it. But then God touched me, and now I understand about reading the Bible. I began to pray because in the Bible it's talked about praying. So I tried praying. I also remember I just wanted Jesus music. That's all I thought. No one told me anything. I was just like, is there such thing? I didn't even know if there was Christian music. I knew there was hymns we sang at church, but that's about it. So I remember going on to the radio, going from place to place, is there anything about Jesus? And finally I found some, and I said, wow, oh, Jesus music. It's because it's like the Spirit of God was just longing for me to worship the Almighty God. It happened from within. I can tell you now, I knew Jesus, and I still know Jesus. And God is so real within me that no one could convince me otherwise. Before I had religion, before I had tried being good, which is a good thing, but now I knew God. And a result of knowing God, remember that I told you about God had called me to preach, and I wasn't open? Where I remembered everything and all that God had shown me, and I said, yes, Jesus, I will preach. And then he directed me to go to a Bible college to study the Bible, to get to know it very well so that I could be used by him for his kingdom. After graduating from Bible school, I worked on campus college ministry for many, many years. Then I went over to Central Asia as a missionary for 17 years. And then came back and now continue to do his ministry, to serve him, because I love him. And there's a scripture I was going to mention, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what happened to me. We can all know Jesus intimately, real, not someone way far off or someone we've just heard about. We can know him. My biggest concern is if anybody is like I was, thinking that they know Jesus, but they don't. Because for 9 years, I thought I knew him, but I didn't. And because I was convinced I knew him, I wasn't open to come in to know him. So for 9 years, I went without knowing Jesus, and I think I would have been open to it if I knew what it really meant to believe. But I don't know. We'll see. But I don't want anybody to be in that situation. It'd be wonderful. We all know that we know without question that we know God. He's real within us. But you here, if you never have believed in Jesus, just you to me, I would encourage you to believe in him for fullness of life. He wants to forgive every sin that you've ever committed and give you a new birth, bring you into the family of God. If you believe in him as your Savior and as your Lord, it's not by works. You can't be good enough to come in relationship with God. Works are good. We need to do works, but they can't bring you in relationship with God. They can't save you. We can never be good enough, because being good enough is not following certain laws. Being good enough is loving God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving our neighbors, ourselves. And in that, we all come way short. And we can all come short of the glory of God. So it must be God's gift of righteousness that he gives to us and brings us to his family. And it comes by faith, not by doing some works or following some law. And the Bible even says, let me share a scripture. It says, knowing that a man, this is Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified, that's being brought right before God, by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It's not by works. It's not by being part of some organization, religious organization, or some denomination. It's good to be a part, but that's a result of knowing him, not a way to come to know him. Unless you're seeking in the Bible to find to know him, but knowing him is by faith. You say, well, I belong to this religion, I belong to this denomination. That's great, fine, but you need to know Jesus. That comes by faith, and faith alone in him. Or maybe we think it's some ritual. We do this ritual act. Maybe if I say the right words, or I do the right activity, or I go through this motion, I do this thing they told me to do, somehow, this ceremony or type thing, I'm going to get come to know God. But you don't come to know God through any ceremony. It's by faith. As a result of knowing him, then we want to follow him and obey him. Then we may do some ceremonies, and we want to be part of some church. We also want to do good. He saves us to do good works, to serve him, to follow him. That's why he saves us, and to know him and have eternal life. But you can know him simply by faith. And if you're saying, I'm just not there that I can believe in Jesus, but I want to search, then I would encourage you, like me, go to the Bible. Read the Bible. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just read about Jesus. That is one of the best places to start. I share in my heart what's one of the most important things that I could share from my heart. And I hope that you'll be blessed from it, and it'll change your life. God bless.